Welcome back to The Bottom Line. We've been covering all of the NFL teams in this area that folks follow, which is about 90 of them. Let's do Green Bay today. Brian Caravu joining us. He is the author of It's Just a Game, also editor over at CheeseheadTV.com. Brian, how you doing, man?
Very good. Glad to be joining you.
Tell me this about the Jarrell Worthy trade. Is it a trade? Do we know anything about that?
Yes, it was confirmed yesterday by the NFL's transaction wire. The Packers send the Patriots Jarrell Worthy, defensive lineman, former second-round draft choice. Never really worked out in Green Bay. Kind of a pass rush specialist. Never really showed the strength to be a player on a three-down basis for the Packers. Has a quick first step and can still be perhaps a situational pass rusher. But the Packers getting a conditional draft pick, kind of still up in the air as to how it works out, you know, if he makes the roster. If he doesn't, the Packers, you know, might not get something. So, yeah, it's all official as of yesterday.
Do you think they took a chance on him? There was a lot of talk when he was coming out of college that he was a little lazy, he was a little bit of an underperformer, dropped in the draft because of it. You feel this was kind of a chance they took on him, or they feel pretty good about him when they drafted him?
Yeah, at the time the Packers took him in 2012, yeah, they had lost Cullen Jenkins, their, you know, former interior pass rusher that was with the Packers Super Bowl team in XLV. And they really needed a pass rush presence from the defensive line, and there had already been a few taken earlier in the draft, and the Packers kind of they saw a few more come off the board in the second round, and they're like, oh, man, we got to get somebody before all the good defensive line pass rushers go away. So they actually trade up for Jarrell Worthy in 2012. It turns out he doesn't pan out. Luckily, the Packers, later on that draft in the fourth round, draft Mike Daniels,
right,
who's actually turned out to be the better player of the two. So kind of worked out in that way for the Packers, although they probably would have loved if Jarrell Worthy had worked out as well.
Brian Caravu joining us. CheeseheadTV.com, also Pro Football Draft Preview. Julius Peppers so far, you always hear guys getting rejuvenated when they go to a new team. What's he been like so far in camp?
Hard to tell thus far. The Packers have been very vanilla, and they'll continue to be throughout the preseason. They have a lot of changes in store, I think, this year. You know, they didn't go out and spend $13 million guaranteed on Julius Peppers to run the same old schemes and systems that they have been the past few years and haven't been working. But the Packers really want to keep these looks under wraps until the regular season starts and the games start counting. They don't want to show anything in the preseason that opponents can prepare for. So I think there's going to be some different ways. The Packers, you know, they're a traditional base 3-4 defense, but and Julius Peppers is actually, you know, playing outside linebacker for the Packers, something he's never done with an NFL team before, be it the Panthers or the Bears. So it's kind of unique the way that he'll be used, I think, this year. But we haven't seen a lot of it yet in the preseason.
I saw him the other day on one of the clips. He looks like he's dropped maybe 20 pounds. Have they talked about his weight at all?
Not too much with the weight. I mean, obviously, it does look like he's maybe dropped a little bit, but he's always been a tall, kind of live figure. And, you know, it's new to him doing things like dropping into space and coverage and things like that. Not that he'll be asked to do that a lot in Green Bay. I mean, you know, they paid him to be a pass rusher, but it's going to happen occasionally where he's going to have to cover a running back on the flat or something like that, and that's worth watching.
Brian, I thought going into the draft, inside linebacker, linebacker position was a need for the Packers. Do you think that they got what they wanted out of a guy like Carl Bradford, or are they still lacking there at that position, in your opinion?
Are you talking about inside linebacker?
Yeah, inside linebacker, yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. They've actually got Carl Bradford to start out at outside linebacker.
Okay.
There's been a lot of talk about whether or not he will eventually be moved into inside linebacker. A lot of people thought coming into the draft that the Packers would go after Ryan Shazier or C.J. Mosley. Well, both those guys come off the board. Packers never had a chance at either of them. And they end up just staying put. And I don't know if you just didn't like a lot of the other outside linebackers after the top guys ended up coming off the board. But they're going to stick with A.J. Hawk, Brad Jones, a couple of the backups they had on the roster. They brought a few undrafted guys in, but I mean, it's largely status quo at the position, and guys who haven't really just been average, you know, when you're talking about A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones, they've done okay, but they haven't been, you know, Pro Bowl type of performers.
Uh-huh.
There's a big sentiment in Green Bay that the Packers could do better, but it's going to have to wait until 2015 at least.
Brian Caravu joining us. He is the editor at CheeseheadTV.com, also Pro Football Draft Preview. I was a fan of HaHa Clinton Dix in college. I thought he'd make a pretty good pro safety. How's he look so far in camp in the first preseason game?
Yeah, you know, all things considered, being a rookie, you know, just getting his feet wet for the first time at the pro level, everything's looking pretty good for HaHa Clinton Dix. He's not been anointed like a starter. They're kind of making him work for it. Packers do have two other guys at the safety position, Morgan Burnett and Micah Hyde, who have kind of been working as the starting tandem. But still, you know, if Clinton Dix, you know, ends up being as good as people think he can be, he's going to be a starter eventually. Looked good in the first preseason game. He kind of got a welcome to the NFL moment. Some Titans, Dexter McCluster, who's like 170 pounds, ran him over.
Whoa.
One of the first plays of the game, Clinton Dix failed to wrap up. But after that point, it's like, oh, wow, I'm in the NFL now. And he played good after that. So maybe he just need to get a little wake-up call. And you know, I suppose it's good it happened in the preseason rather than the regular season for him.
Well, Dex, for his size, is pretty strong, though, so you got to give him credit for that.
Absolutely. His size.
If there was something that the Packers really struggled at last year, it was some of the run defense stuff. You look at some of the analytics for their defensive rush efficiency. It was very low in the league. I know you haven't seen a whole lot of what they're going to do, but what do you expect they're going to try, at least, to fix that this year?
Well, one of the things they're doing is they're moving DJ Raji back to a nose tackle position, and that's the position he played when the Packers won the Super Bowl in the 2010 year. After that, they kind of moved Ryan Pickett to nose tackle, kind of had Raji playing one of those 3-4 base ends. And they're hoping that Raji will get back to his 2010 level of play at the nose and kind of occupying over the center and just being, you know, when you talk about the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. You know, when you're right over the football, maybe he can make a little bit, few more plays being so close to the ball right over center at the nose tackle position. So that's one way they're trying to shore up the deficiencies in, you know, the defense. But, you know, just having Julius Peppers paired across the defense from Clay Matthews on a lot of plays, they're hoping that'll work out as well.
Brian Caravu joining us, CheeseheadTV.com. I know Devontae Adams had a tough first preseason game, but how'd he look in camp before he had the couple special teams gaffes?
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, too, that it was a torrential downpour in the first quarter of that game when Adams was thrown out there. And what's interesting, too, is he had barely even returned punts in college.
Right.
I went back and looked. He has two career punt returns in college, and then the Packers throw him up there in tough conditions. I think they want to put him in a tough situation and see how he'd respond to it. So it's tough to get on him too much for that. But he's really looking good as a wide receiver. He seems to be really talented. He's not going to be a speed guy, you know, beating guys, you know, blown off the top of the defense, but he can be a strong possession type receiver. A lot of people have compared him to best case scenario being like a Michael Crabtree of the 49ers. The Packers would love if it worked out that way.
A question that you would ask for depth in fantasy football drafting: who's going to be the backup to Eddie Lacy with all those guys behind him?
James Starks is
going
to be the guy who's the number two guy and get the, you know, the rest of the remaining carries. And what's interesting is James Starks actually had the highest per carry average of any running back in the NFL who had more than 50 carries last year. He averaged, like, I think it was 5.8 yards a carry. He really is pretty good. I mean, it's a shame he probably won't get a lot of playing time as long as Eddie Lacy's healthy and in the game. But should anything ever happen to Eddie Lacy, or you're just looking for a backup for a week, James Starks is not a bad guy to have.
One of the draft picks that intrigued me was getting Richard Rodgers, a guy who, you know, played multiple positions, has been injured a little bit. What are his chances to get in that lineup and catch some balls?
Really good, and he's been a real pleasant surprise in camp that the Packers are getting as much as they are out of a third-round draft choice here, who wasn't, you know, one of the big names at tight end coming into the draft. Just in the first preseason game, he saw more first, you know, playing time with the first-string offense than a guy like Andrew Corliss, who, you know, even though he's not explosive, he's kind of just been the veteran who's been around the team a lot, and I think myself included, just kind of assumed he would get the starting nod at least early on, you know, as they make Richard Rodgers work to earn a job in the starting lineup. But Rodgers has been out there with the starters working with the first team. He's been a really pleasant surprise. There's still a lot for him to prove yet, but he is looking like a guy who could be a starter right away in Green Bay.
Nice. Brian Caravu joining us. He's author of It's Just a Game, also editor at CheeseheadTV.com. The offensive line a couple years ago, injuries, problems, last year came along. Do you see that being one of the strengths of the team this year?
It really has come a long way for the Packers. Last year, Brian Bulaga goes down with an injury, misses the whole year. Mm-hmm. They're forced into using David Bakhtiari, a rookie last year, into the starting lineup. He starts at right tackle all 16 games last year and has a very promising season. Yeah, he made a few mistakes here and there, as any rookie starting at left tackle in the NFL would, but he performed, so it was so promising that you just felt like there's still better things for him yet to come. Looks like he's gotten bigger and stronger in the offseason. That'll help him get a little push in the run game, help out Eddie Lacy. Brian Bulaga is back to right tackle now, so they got, you know, a first-round draft choice there. Josh Sitton and TJ Lang might be the best pair of guards in the NFL, or at least in the top couple, at least. And the only question mark is at center, where J.C. Treader is kind of entering his first year as the starter. Still kind of up in the air. He hasn't won the job yet, but he's the front runner.
Biggest question for you going into the year?
Biggest question's the defense. I mean, last year I think the Packers were eighth in the NFL in total offense without Aaron Rodgers for half the season. They're going to have a good offense no matter, you know, even, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers will probably play more than eight games this year. the chances are he will. And, you know, even if they don't have him, it's a good offense. And if they do have him, it's a great offense. So it's all about improving the defensive side of the football, both, you know, stopping the run, as we talked about before, but also getting more turnovers. The Packers had very few turnovers last year. Very interesting statistic. They didn't get a single interception from a safety last year. A single one the entire season. Somebody did some analysis, and it goes back to the 1950s, the last time that happened to a Packers team. So they're bound to only get better in that department. So if they can get a few more turnovers this year, it'll be better.
Brian, we went over the schedule yesterday for the Packers, and they're favored in the early lines in 12 of the 16 games. When you look at the high end and low end, Super Bowl, I'm amazed. I'm guessing is the high end. What do you think the low end is for this team?
Boy, I mean, as long as Aaron Rodgers is out there, I mean, low end again is qualifying for the playoffs. I mean, you look at guys who are in the prime of their quarterback career, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. I mean, as long as those guys are out there, all these teams are making the playoffs. It's rare when they don't, at least. So, assuming he doesn't have another catastrophic injury, I mean, the floor is at least a playoff appearance for the Packers.
Brian Caravu, tell us a little about CheeseheadTV.com. What are some of the things you guys do?
We're an independent, team-specific blog, Packers mm-hmm. coverage 24/7. The TV part comes in where we have a live broadcast, live podcasts, I guess, that are streamed online that our fans can watch, and I myself host a podcast Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. It airs live. We podcast it later so people can download it. We're on iTunes, all sorts of those things. So, yeah, that's what Cheesehead TV's like. If you're a Packers fan, I think you'll love it.
Sounds awesome. Brian Caravu, talking Green Bay Packers. We appreciate the time, Brian. Thanks, man.
Sure, anytime.